Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Guys performing Shambhala off their album Good Luck and Good Night. Please welcome JD and the Straight Shot.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain with the rain in Shambhala. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame with the rain in Shambhala. Everyone is helpful, everyone is kind.
Or Toucher and Rich, and that is the voice of, was it Pat Dolan?
No, that would be the voice of Jimmy Fallon over-enthusiastically introducing James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks and his band.
James Dolan.
JD in the Straight Shot, and then over-enthusiastically ending the set with a...
How does your light shine in the halls of Shambhala?
Yeah, he'd thrown $100 bills in the audience.
How much is your soul, sir?
Yeah, that was...
Please sell it here.
Well, we all do things that we don't want to do for our jobs. I mean, sometimes you got to take a guess. But, I mean, Fallon, relax. But he does... I don't think Fallon has, a 9 on him. Like, I think he's always at a 10.
Sure. He can turn it down just a little bit.
Is Corden on after him?
No, Corden is CBS.
Okay, because I was going to say, that is a pile of over-enthusiastic diarrhea if they were back-to-back.
No. He has Seth Meyers on after him. He's pretty good. I like Seth Meyers. And Corden has before him...
The guy from The Daily Show.
Yeah, Colbert, right?
Yeah, Colbert. Yeah, who's good, too.
All right, so the late-night TV doesn't really matter anymore, actually. But it still can piss you off. I'm like, they bookend two pieces of garbage back to back. But nonetheless, Rich.
Yeah.
James Dolan, of course, is an inherited Cablevision, and he owns Madison Square Garden. I can understand why the likes of Jimmy Fallon have him on performing music, even though he sucks at it. And there's talk of him, I know for a fact that he's made employees go watch him play.
Right.
There was talk of, Mike Lockhart was telling us, I believe, that there was talk of him playing after Knicks losses on the plane to cheer the team up.
Yeah, in a story recently, these players were like saying, yeah, he would bust out a guitar and we're just trying to just relax, and he's like singing all these blues songs, and we're like, you can't really say anything because the dude's like writing your checks. Yeah. So you have to sit there and just suck on it while he ruins your flight home.
Yeah, he would buy a plane just to make people hear him play music. So
I found something amazing, however, about JD in the Straight Shot. So I was thinking yesterday after
James
the show,
Dolan in the Straight Shots, because this one's a little crooked.
Yeah, he's a little off.
These guys shoot it straight. This guy, he's a little off the chain.
Fred and I were talking about, I was like, what is it with this? Okay, so there's a weird thing that happens to the sons of multimillionaires or billionaires that inherit a ton of money, and they have to be white, they end up loving the blues.
And like this genre of the blues, like, I hate the blues anyway, but there's this genre, like, that no one listens to.
It's like Ursay, the same thing, Jim Ursay, son of a multimillionaire, white, and says, I'm singing the blues, and they have to hijack stages and go up there. There's, like, local guys that have done the same thing, I'm singing the blues, and it's just one of those, I don't know what it is, it's a
like
formula.
Like, that genre of music is so random.
And it's just, right.
Because no one listens to it.
It's like the Sons of Multimillionaires Club, feel sorry for me because I got the blues, and I don't know. We're not buying any of this. Like, nothing that you're trying to sell, this false persona, is hitting with anyone. No one feels any sympathy.
But again, like, you don't see, you know, kids walking around with fedoras on,
right,
rocking out to, you know, like, some crazy-ass rhythm and blues.
Okay, so I was obsessed last night. I went through a wormhole with JD in the Straight Shot because, I mean, he's truly an awful musician, if you want to call him that. Like, I mean, the guys can't sing. And he like used to try to play guitar. And now
Hills
he's like, I'm
playing guitar. Sha-la-la, we'll tell you different.
Okay. This first clip right here, they made a music video. Okay. Like one that he obviously spent a ton of money to look nice and sleek. So it's James Dolan, these two super cool looking like young guitarists. They're like, you know, straight out of the backup band for like Ryan Adams or whatever. And then you've got this female singer who's excellent. Like, I mean, she's like, he said, I'm going to afford the best studio singer that I can find.
Yeah, and I'm going to overpay her and I'm going to make her do this.
All right. Listen to the first 15 seconds of this song. And then I want to make, then I just want to introduce an observation.
Better find a church. Better find it soon. Better search through the night by the light of a sinner's moon.
Okay, take his voice out of it. She's great. This sounds like a drunk guy singing over like a blues song that's on his radio. He doesn't need to be there.
Well, I don't
he's
think
literally
this...
doing nothing but ruining a song that's A-okay.
I don't. I mean,
the
disagree.
Song might. Not, well, he didn't. You're sure he didn't write any of this?
But no. If you go, if you go to a show and the opening act is playing this song,
okay. Now let's get to that.
You're leaving
because everything that we've heard from JD and the Straight Shot, as far as live performances, have been in front of, well, crowds that have an incentive to be enthusiastic about his performance, right?
Sure.
That, you know, people aren't going to boo any kind of, like, performance that happens on the Jimmy Fallon show, because, look, Jimmy likes it. Everyone loves Jimmy. And then, you know, we've seen him perform things on local television. Hey, well, you know, you're not going to get a letter from the head of Madison Square Garden or the company if you make fun. Now let's get him out into the wild. Let's get the moment where JD in the Straight Shot sacks up and says, let's go on tour and put ourselves in front of an actual studio audience.
Okay, so this is not
the second
clip.
Okay. Right. This is him at a place, and I know that there's one here in Boston. I think there's one in New York as well called the City Winery. So it's like a, you know, place where people drink wine. There's live bands. Here is a video I found online. And by the way, this is not the only one. There's a lot just like this.
The house that the Manhattan Transfer built.
This is JD in the Straight Shot performing in front of an audience live. Let's take a listen.
What is going on?
There's people in the audience saying, you suck.
How are they amplified to this degree?
The place isn't that big. It's like, okay. it's like a 120, 150 seater. It's like a bar. It's like a bar restaurant. You know, people are sitting at tables watching these guys in these really cool Mumford & Son vests up there and pork pie hats.
Yeah, they just don't get by the light of the silver moon.
And meanwhile, Dolan has no idea. Like, no one's ever said mean things to me. I've got money. I usually can make this go away. Everyone usually says yes, yes, yes.
Dude, you don't
and
know.
And now there's a couple jackasses in the bar like, dude, you suck.
Dude, you don't even understand the blues. I could break it down to you. You know, Dolan one time was at the crossroads, and he had to make a decision. Do you rock at the blues, or does everyone be your friend? I chose the former.
Well, I want my money back. I made good money for these people.
I just want a refund.
That's all I want. I want it.
Who are you?
How do I get a job singing for a band?
$25 for this. I want it back.
I want my money back.
$25.
Just give me $25. I'm happy to leave. His voice is terrible.
I'm serious.
His voice is so bad.
His voice is bad.
He's got a terrible singing voice. He should do something else for a living.
Because I'm about to ruin him for you.
Because I'm about to crap on his music.
That's right.
Ready? If you've ever heard a song sung through a microphone that projects fecal matter, get ready. Because yeah. Here it comes.
This is a little song about hemorrhoids, ring of fire.
There's a video of JD in the straight shot opening for the Eagles. The Eagles. And
which,
even
is inexcusable by the Eagles, because they charge like 500, because they're sweet spot of an audience. Wealthy, older people with disposable income. Like, they make tons of money.
Sure.
Tons. And to put that in front of an audience is just unjustifiable.
And the crowd, and by the way, there's a lot of, you go look at live videos of James Dolan in the straight shot, JD in the straight shot, out in the wild, it's all this. It's like, everyone's like, you suck. Like, because I understand that there might be a couple people who are Knicks fans and just want to give him crap. I get right. that. But, I mean, there's places, like, here.
Doing my best.
Yeah. Well, this song is called Fix the Knicks that he's performing. And for his very self-deprecating, everyone wants me to fix the Knicks.
Doing my best, yes, that's my promise. I check with my friends, Paul Isaiah Thomas.
You just not have any self-awareness. You go, dude, I'm awful.
No, like, there's self-awareness. There's none.
Like, that one song was just, you took a song where that was like an acceptable song with a pretty singer, and you just crapped. You just sang on top of it.
What's
like
it
a
doing?
Drunk guy listening to his radio.
You don't know about falsetto and a nice tenor?
Jim Murray just tweeted me a video, and he said, try not to be mesmerized by James Dolan's big fake teeth and this, the worst music video ever created.
Well, listen, I mean, not everyone gets the blues.
Sometimes you got to have them.
You know, not everyone can understand what he's going through by the light of the silver moon.
James Dolan's like walking through the woods, and they're riding on like snow, like what are those called? Like the jet skis you sit on?
Snowmobiles.
Snowmobiles.
Hey, got a jet around in the snow. You know what the snow represents?
Cocaine.
Blues.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm diving deep into a forest of the blues.
Do you remember the day Crash came in when he got those, like, teeth extenders?
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, even worse.
Veneers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, like, James Dolan, man, them some choppers you got there.
Yeah. People, what they do is they saw your teeth down to points, and then they jam in fake teeth.
Just take piano keys and go, shka-bang.
Yeah, it always looks so natural. You know who's got them is Paulie Delvecchio. All right, so we will be right back.
Second and goal from the 16. Snap to Brady. Stands in. Pressured. Throws a high lob to the near side. It's up for grabs, and it's going to be intercepted by Hayden if he came down in bounds. He leaps over two Patriots, and he lands inside the four. And a turnover for the Steelers to celebrate, posing for a picture in the end zone.
A worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
And Julian Edelman has gone down on all fours as we take the timeout midway through the fourth quarter.
Drop it!
Edelman overcome by emotion when he saw that throw. Be listening tomorrow morning at 7:30, 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Buffalo Bills this Sunday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. That's coming up tomorrow morning at 7:30 and 9:30. So here is the story. Is after, as Tim McCone told us and reminded us, after a touchdown pass to Gronkowski in the Miami game, Brady was walking off the field. He sat down and was working on his left leg, it appears, and
he, like, adjusted his brace.
Right, but he was down, and there was some discussion of why that was happening. Now, Jeff Howe and Mike Giardi, who cover the team for a living, have both speculated that even though Brady's not on an injury report, that he is indeed having problems with his left knee. They point to throws he's making, and that he's unwilling, he's drifting right and favoring his left leg, and, you know, he's seeing ghosts more than usual. He's not taking that extra, you know, half a second in the pocket to go through his reads. And, Rich, when someone speculates about the health of Tom Brady, even two gentlemen that don't work together and also are paid to watch these things an infuriating amount, which I don't wish on my worst enemy. They have to sit there and watch the all 22. Nonetheless, by the way, if you're someone who doesn't do it for a living and you watch the all 22, give us a call. 617-779-0985.
For pure enjoyment, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, just, it's fun. Like you're having fun. That was like the Ron Jaworski show that used to be on Sunday mornings before. Oh, yeah.
Brutal.
Oh, it was brutal. It was all 22, and he would dissect plays with a telestrator, and he'd be like, I'm not getting paid for this.
That was because he had a contract with Monday Night Football, and Gruden hated working with him so much that they kind of wanted to soften the blow, and they put him in a different place.
That's not true. This was a precursor to all of that.
I thought that was a thing you did afterwards.
This was like 15 years ago, and it was before they had NFL Sunday like all day.
It was the worst 30 minutes on television.
It was,
unwatchable.
It was unwatchable, and even if it was like a team I enjoyed... It was like listening to like your high school coach go into the, it's like I'm not getting paid for any of this.
Yeah,
why would I possibly watch this? It's insufferably boring.
So when we had Giardi on, you know, I tweeted out. I said Mike Giardi told us that he believes Tom Brady may be playing injured, possibly an MCL tear, judging by watching tape over the last several weeks. Oh, boy. The reaction. Oh, who's the doctor here? Oh, nice job. See, this is what's wrong with the Boston sports media. You're all trolling us now. I'm literally just putting out a quote.
Okay, then why has he not been himself?
Okay, so, and by can I just go back to him? He was walking off the field and then, like, went down for five full seconds. And, like, if it's just to adjust your brace, why wouldn't you just finish walking to the bench and do it there? So that's one of the more ridiculous things. Now, I do believe he's probably playing hurt. Now, whether it's an MCL tear, I don't know. All I know is that's what Mike Giardi said. And what's great is that all these people are like, oh, yeah, here come the doctors once you're trolling. And, and so Doc Flynn, who does do this for a living, tweeted, yeah, this makes sense. And she said, Brady plays through injuries, doesn't talk about them. With team doctors, body coach, trainers, he manages them very well. Watching him play the last 5 to 6 weeks, I can't disagree with Mike Giardi that an MCL sprain is possible. So even like somebody, so there's, now listen, whether you like to put your trust into doctors that watch things on TV and come up with their own conclusions, that's a valid point. Understood. But at least you have somebody, if you're questioning, you know, because Mike doesn't have any medical experience, here's someone who does and has the same access to the same information he does saying that. So it's not like crazy that it's being thrown out.
Also,
it's
just not getting upset about it is a little odd that it would upset you that someone's reporting that Brady has a hurt knee.
Here's another reason why it might be upsetting. I loved, you know, we obviously love Jerry Thornton, friend of the show, but he did tweet out, so he retweeted our thing and put headline: the Chetriots are lying on the injury report. So long, 2019 first round pick.
Okay.
There's a group of people, obviously,
Put it together that they were lying on the injury report.
Right. So
because obviously he's not going to be playing on Sunday. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, boys, steak and eggs.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
So the show that you were referring to was out in the 90s. It was Edge NFL Matchup on ESPN. It had Merrill Hodge on it, and I loved that show. That was an awesome program, and I'm too busy now to watch the All-22s, but if I wasn't, I would. Have a great Christmas, boys.
You did not like that. What about that show did you enjoy?
Loved it. Loved it. Loved the detail. I wish they did it now. I wish they had that kind of...
You know why they don't do it now? Is because no one in their right mind would watch it. Honestly, you seem like a nice fellow. You have great taste in this show. But tell me, what about it did you enjoy?
It was, you know, I love football.
I really love football.
Now it's all fantasy football. It's all stats. It's all numbers. It's all analytics. Before, it was actually what was happening. You know, why is a cornerback getting beat? What was going to be successful? You felt like if you watched that show for 30 minutes, you'd watch a football game later in the day. Granted, you had to watch whatever the networks put on. You didn't have Red Zone and all the other great stuff we have now. But you'd know what was going to happen, right? You'd know why Ty Law was a good cornerback. You'd know why a quarterback was successful. You'd know why a wide receiver was successful, why they were good.
Yeah, they're catching the ball.
Man. It's awesome. That's why I love that show. Thanks, boys. Have a good Christmas.
Right, I don't understand. I don't understand that. Like, who needs to know that?
Okay, Scott Zolak loves football more than probably anyone we know, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, loves it. That I think he can't stand the All-22. Like, why do you see him sitting and watching the All-22 when he doesn't have to? Like, out of his playing days, I like to ask Zolak, even if someone like him loves it.
I'll give you an example. Is that Wes Welker was in here, and he was talking to Ninkovich. And this is before Ninkovich had announced his retirement, and he did so like a week later.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
You could have done it on our show,
who,
Rob.
Who actually Come listens on, Nick. To the show. But they were both complaining about having to look at, what was it, look at like all 22 pitchers. Like they were talking about how Wes Welker, because now he's the receivers coach, they were both going back and forth on how 95% of the crap they get from the team in terms of all 22 and in terms of these things that they're forced to look at is BS. And Welker was telling us that he has to sit down and like manually type out like everything every receiver did on every play. And then we asked him, how often do you use that? And he went, never. like they never use it. So it's like this kind of, and then like Ninkovich and him were just complaining about it. And then Ninkovich retires a week later. And you're thinking, boy, if these guys don't like it,
yeah,
then why am I watching it?
I just like what's written at line one. Fred, I like off the edge as well. Would you like to yell at me as well?
Well, that's a bird right there. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, I used to love that show, and I think it really comes down to, I mean, some people like chess. I mean, I couldn't watch chess, but some people like it, and they like to figure out the strategy and why are they lined up like that? Why, I don't know. You're right. Not enough people liked it, and I'm weird, so I get it. But
I'm going to yell at you. But I'll tell you this. Is that you are a special because the I know for a fact that at least a few players and coaches hate it. They don't like it.
Well, all I know is that Jaws always gave us an honest opinion about all the players that were on the field, and not one that was trying to be spun in order to try to hype up a Monday Night Football matchup.
That's just great football by Tyler Palko and Bo, but Palko's just standing back there, no one near him. Excellent back shoulder fade to Bo. Here comes some more no huddle.
Are you kidding me? This Palko's been unbelievable so far.
Yeah, Tyler Palko coming on strong. Do you remember that article that
I
came out
about
you?
Who he is?
He was the guy who was filling in. It was for the Texans. Who was
Chiefs?
Chiefs. Okay. Yeah. So I remember there was an article that came out after that Monday Night Football. And this writer, I guess, had followed around Ron Jaworski and didn't know he was going to write this. But at one point, Jaworski is like, how am I going to make Tyler Palko sound interesting? How am I? And then I've got all these clips all ready to go for, man, Palko's the greatest.
Yeah.
Love this Tyler Palko.
One thing, though, I'll say about the Edge show is that I still exclusively use Edge shaving gel for my shaving needs.
Was that the sponsor?
Well, that's one that Chad would love to have back. He knew we had the one-on-one matchup going down the right sideline. You have to get rid of this ball just a split second quicker. You'll see him here.
That's what Jaworski just swore right on the air.
Well, listen, he played in Philadelphia. He's got a thick skin. All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up. What will we talk about?
All right, let's get to it. It's finally out. The Super Bowl odds for every NFL playoff contender.
All right, we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Tucker and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tucker and Rich, download the 98.5, the Sports Hub app now.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're touching Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
All right. The stats and odds are out as to who will end up playing in the Super Bowl. This is actually the Super Bowl odds. This is to make the Super Bowl, not to win the Super Bowl. Okay? So this is just end up making it in it, not to win. And here are your statistics for all of the teams that are still in it. When you go down to your guy, the Browns, you know, big Baker Mayfield over there, they have a 5,000-to-1 shot. A lot of things have to happen. Very strange things. I think in week 17, there has to be a tie of some sort for them to be able to get in.
Mm-hmm. This is the closest they're going to get with Baker Mayfield as their quarterback, so they should enjoy it.
How can you say that?
It's not good.
Well, you don't know what the Ravens are going to be next year because they're moving on from Joe Flacco, and you've got Lamar Jackson coming in. The Steelers, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, who knows how much longer he's going to play. You know, there's a little bit of movement there. And what do you got? You got a bunch of awesome youth and guys like renegades, like Baker Mayfield, who wake up feeling dangerous. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got Bob Wiley riding a sled dressed as Santa Claus. How does that not get the team
motivated?
They're
going to screw up their head coach, coaching hire. They're going to screw up the draft, and they're going to fall apart. And everyone's going to figure out Baker Mayfield. I truly believe that.
How great would it be if Marvin Lewis got fired and then the Browns hire him?
Yeah. I can see that happening.
And Hugh Jackson ends up
comes
being
back as an assistant.
Yeah. No. Hugh Jackson just ends up coaching the Bengals because he's there right now. They just bring him up. Oh, how great would that be if they just swap places? They're going to get somebody good, Fred. They are, because it is a desirable place to coach. You've heard Burt Breer come in here and say that of all of the spots in the NFL, even more so than Green Bay, that seems to be the place that, despite the awful owner that they have, that might be the number one destination for any team.
Okay, I would say the Jets are, and I would say this, is because they have $100 million, they're $100 million under the cap. They have a young quarterback that they believe that is going to be a superstar. And you can start, you're starting basically from scratch.
But there's also the stigma of having to coach in New York City, whereas the pressure is off media-wise when you're in a place like Cleveland, who right now doesn't have many expectations.
It's worse. Cleveland, you just said, has expectations.
Well, you don't have to crush those expectations. Listen, if you make the playoffs next year as your first year as a coach, dude, that's massive.
Well, same with the Jets. And by the way, I bet you the pressure's almost worse in Cleveland because no one gives a rat's ass about the Jets in New York. They're all Giant fans.
I don't think anybody wants to have to come in and see on the front page of the paper your Photoshop of, you driving a clown car with a clown nose or
then
whatever.
Then you shouldn't coach in the NFL. If you're unwilling to take any criticism, then don't coach in the NFL.
There's any criticism, and then there's New York head coach criticism, which we all agree
is
way
worse. If you want to hide
in
Cleveland, then that's fine.
Not hide, but have like a welcoming environment. Like, it's kind of how you talked about how LeBron James was always...
He's from there. He's arguably the greatest player of all time.
Understood, but he also had a community that rallied around him and kept him safe from any kind of, bad press.
Yeah, sure. And as says every Cleveland coach around.
Hugh Jackson survived way longer than he should have.
Well, yeah, because they have terrible ownership. And the Jets, finally, because Trump appointed stupid Woody Johnson as the ambassador to England or something, his brother's doing stuff, and he seems fairly level-headed.
But you've also said yourself, at least Baker Mayfield has talent around him. Right now, the Jets don't have that.
But they have $100 million in cap space, and so they can do whatever they want. And for a long time, they don't have to spend it all this year.
I have no faith that they are going to make the right hire. None that the Browns are going to.
No.
However, I also believe that they're going to be good coaches who are going to want that job.
Right.
Josh McDaniels being one of them.
All right. Well, they have
which might be the wrong hire.
an alleged criminal as their owner.
Haslam has had some.
He has no interest in that team either.
Nope, none at all. Bad owner.
He's entirely invested in Knoxville. He has absolutely no interest in that team. I mean, go to Knox. I mean, he's his brother's the mayor of or governor of Tennessee, or was, or a senator or something of that nature. Yeah, he doesn't care about the Browns.
Next up on the list, the Dolphins. They have 1,000-1 odds. Then you go Redskins, 500-1. The Panthers, they still have a chance of getting in, even after what happened. I mean, did you hear Ron Rivera yesterday? He was being asked about Cam Newton and his injuries, and they said what? He goes, every once in a while we still see a little bit of a glimmer of something. You're like, all right, sounds like a hell of a lot of confidence you're throwing out there. Sit the poor guy. Titans, 100-1. Eagles, 100-1. Colts 80-1. Man, that's a bet you might want to put some money on.
Yeah, why not?
Colts at 80-1?
Sure.
They're pretty damn good right now. Especially with the AFC kind of wide open. The Ravens, they're at 40-1.
That's one of the things though, you put $10 on it and then they win the Super Bowl and you go, why didn't I put $1,000 on it?
I'd still be happy I put $10. I mean that's still a risky bet. But anyway.
You get $800.
It's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's not life changing.
It's not bankroll boys money. No.
$800 just gets you. It doesn't even start your bankroll.
Doesn't even get you a table at the Grand. Come on, what are we doing? The Vikings, 30-1. What? Then you got the Seahawks, 25-1.
What?
Yep, the boys. They have 20-1 odds. The Cowboys.
That's got to be just because they're the Cowboys. I mean, that just has to be Vegas.
Other than last
bets.
Week, they've looked really good. I mean, ever since Amari Cooper showed up, the offense has been pretty damn good.
All right, you want to talk about coaching. Garrett's won, what, one playoff game? I've got no faith in them. That's got to be Vegas hedging against all the stupid Cowboy fans.
How about your Bears, Fred, at 16-1 odds?
Now, the Bears, that is a team that could do it.
Yep. Yeah, they absolutely could. Even though you hate Mitch Trubisky and you don't believe in him.
I don't hate Mitch Trubisky. You know why I don't believe in Mitch Trubisky? Because no one that covers football does.
Even after now, I think there's people kind of turning around on him.
He still runs an awful lot.
He does, and he's going to have to watch that. And we've been saying that before about some.
And by the way, they played perfectly fine against the Lions on Thanksgiving at Detroit, which is not an easy game to play with their backup quarterback. So that team is a collection of its overall parts. It's not run by its quarterback.
Texans have a 14-1 odds, and then you've got the Steelers. They are also at 14-1. And then here come the Patriots right now sitting at 8-1 odds to make the Super Bowl. And ahead of them, the Chargers just barely with 7-1 odds. It's a bet I'd probably make. 7-1 odds for the Chargers? Why not? Right now they look like, if you had to pick any team out of the AFC that looks like the most complete and the one that you pretty much know what they are right now, it's them. The only thing that's really being held against the Chargers is their past, is the fact that
they might not get a bye.
Yeah, they'd be on the road the whole time because they'd be the five seeds. Yeah.
There's that too. But, I mean, as far as a team that right now has been consistent, it's the Chargers. It's you can't say that about almost anybody else.
Yeah, but it's just very difficult to play three road games in the playoffs and win.
They're still ranked ahead of the Texans, who right now have the bye.
I don't think anyone's convinced about the Texans.
Well, they have to. I mean, they could very easily lose to Philly this weekend. I mean, that's going to be the test. And they have somebody easy after that. I think, what are they playing, like the Raiders or something easy like that?
It is the Raiders.
Okay. And then you got the Chiefs with 6-1 odds. The Rams, 9-2 odds. Man, Jared Goff has just looked like garbage.
Awful.
Absolute garbage as of late. I don't know what's going on either. That's somebody that we got to get Mike Giardi looking at tape and saying, is this guy hurt? Because,
maybe,
I mean,
the boy genius has failed.
Mm-hmm. And then the Saints, they are right now the highest odds to make the Super Bowl. With 8-5 odds. That's another team that hasn't looked as good, but I also don't think that... I mean, when you have a guy who's been there and done it before, two guys, rather, in Drew Brees and what's his name? Coach McGee, who got in trouble with the going after people for bounty hunting.
Right.
Sean Payton. Then I got a little bit more faith in those guys. By the way, it's worth mentioning one more time that Skip Bayless claims that he could outrun LeBron James in an 8-mile race. Just thought you'd like to know that.
Yeah.
He said, I always think of LeBron since he's the guy that we talk about the most, or Tom Brady. I'm going off the top of the food chain with both of them, but I could definitely outrun those two for 8 miles. Well, one of them, I agree. Yes, you definitely could outrun Tom Brady. He said, I would do it for any amount of money. I still run pretty well. I'm pretty fast. So my 8th mile is usually around 6.5. My other miles would be more like 7:30 or 8. Let's take LeBron at 6'9", 260 pounds. It's just physics. It's too many pounds to carry over a distance. I'd do it tomorrow. But I lift weights so hard and run so much, I believe he can outrun.
He's not compensating for anything. This is a guy who lied about his high school basketball career.
Pistol Pete.
Like, what adult gives a S about your stupid high school basketball career? It's not even like, it just, he's overcompensating for so much. And I would say a small penis, but as one, a person with one, I can't say that I've gone out of my way to do any physical feats. I mean, like, people will come up in baseball and go, like, I pitched it in high school. So did I. I don't know anything about... I don't know what the hell... Did you really? Wow, that was so difficult to make the team.
Well, here's
how many calls... Skip Bayless is just the weirdest person. Just so weird. The idea that when you read something about him, and it's obviously he's constructed this narrative, that he lives this monkish existence, that he eats the same thing for every meal, he bunkers down, he only leaves his hotel room to work or go to the gym. And by the way, when I talked about this before, I had someone email me and say, that's what geniuses do. They don't have time to like think of what they're going to eat. Uh-huh, right. Everyone knows Einstein ate paste every meal. And then to do what? To debate sports for an hour or however long you're on? If it takes you that much effort to get it together to argue about sports, then you're an idiot. There's no way. That's not working smart. And by the way, your frame of reference of anything else going on in the world is going to be completely ignorant, which is going to factor into a debate. Yeah, he really bothers me. Fine, you could win an 8-mile race. Why 8 miles, too? Why not 50 miles? Why don't you be an ultramarathon runner? Why don't you do something impressive? I'm listening to this podcast about a guy who swam around the UK, and it's like 5 billion miles. Do that, stupid. 8 miles? I could train for conceivably. No, I've run a 10K. I could probably, if I put my mind to it, run 8 miles.
I would watch that show. Skip Bayless challenges athletes to athletic adventures. You know, just like he chases one morning, it's him versus like LeSean McCoy in a race, and then he has to arm wrestle Rob Gronkowski.
Like, what is this?
Because he'd have no humor about the entire thing. Like, he'd be like, he'd really take it seriously.
What is this? Walk? I don't know. It's actually a mystery, and I don't want to say anything about it because I actually don't know what's going on, and he wouldn't tell me.
Okay, if you're watching Twitch and you just saw the tonsils of one Mr.
The Sarge thing I'll speculate on because he said it was a funeral, but I honestly, John, this is the first time John hasn't told me like why he was missing work, and I don't want to speculate. At $40, right there. Turn around. Right there. Yeah. How much cash do you hold on? Do you carry?
A couple hundred.
Yeah, you seem to me.
So everybody waiting in the parking lot, just know
that those are yours. Though. And my daughter, it says Zolak. No, the other one's hard.
This one.
Yeah, and my daughter Scott's picking up his Girl Scout cookies, and my daughter. I put it up on Instagram at Fred Tutcher. She drew all the pictures on her thank you notes with X's as eyes because she wanted the people to look dead.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.